Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is an update on the situation in China. If you've been following the channel, you know I recently posted a video talking about the protests that had spread all across China. Now, initially, these protests had come out in response to a fire that had taken place in an apartment building where people were locked down as part of the COVID restrictions. And 10 people unfortunately died in that fire. And the local people were furious because they believed that the lockdown restrictions had a direct impact on those people being able to exit that building. So it started off as a peaceful protest. And I showed you some video of a lot of people standing with blank pieces of paper. This is a sign of protest that's being used widely now. It started in Hong Kong a couple of years ago and has now spread to China. And the reason that they're holding blank pieces of paper is that you can be arrested in China if you hold up symbols or statements against the government. So obviously holding a blank piece of paper doesn't actually say anything. But the implication is that obviously this is a sign of protest. So it started off as peaceful, but these protests have become more widespread. They've got bigger. Thousands of people are now getting involved. The police have now come out in force. And in a lot of cities, the police are wearing hazmat suits and are using riot shields. So it's quite intimidating. And violence has now broken out at some of these protests. We're seeing protesters being dragged off and arrested. So things are starting to get worse. So in today's video, I'll give you an update on the protests and we'll have a look at some footage that's been shared on social media so you can actually see what these protests look like. I'll then touch on what's going on with COVID because COVID was the main reason why these protests started. However, the bigger issue in China is about the economy and the slowdown and the lack of job opportunities, reducing wages, falling retail sales. So I'll then go on to talk about what's happening with regards to the manufacturing sector, which is so important to the Chinese economy. We've just received the latest figures on factory activity, which are not good. We'll then go on to have a look at what's happening with retail sales in China, because the factory activity is a combination of international demand and domestic demand. But retail sales really gives us a good flavour as to what's happening in the actual economy of China, what the people of China are doing. I'll then give you an update on the situation with regards to the property sector. If you follow the channel, you'll be fully aware that the property sector makes up around 25 to 30% of GDP in China. So it's absolutely critical to the success of the economy. And there's been some major problems over the last couple of years. The Chinese authorities have now brought in some new measures to try to boost the sector. So I'll have a look at what those measures are and what the likely outcome is over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries to what I think is likely to happen in China over the course of the next 6 months or so, what the implications are for the Chinese economy and what that means for the global economy. So once again, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank everybody for watching the channel. I really appreciate it. Thanks to everybody that has subscribed. Thanks to everybody that's ever given me a thumbs up. Really appreciate that. And thanks to everybody that's ever supported the channel. Really, really appreciate it. Physical protests have become quite a rare event in China over the course of the last 10 or 15 years. And this really relates back to the history of the country. In 1989, there were widespread protests led by students against the authorities. And these culminated in a sit-in protest in Tiananmen Square. And there was around 10,000 students that were reported to be protesting at the height of those protests. Now, unfortunately, those protests then broke down into violence. The Chinese authorities sent in the armed forces and tanks, opened fire. And although there are no reliable official figures with regard to the death toll, it's estimated that thousands of people lost their lives. Now, not surprisingly, as a direct result of that outcome, people in China have been very reluctant to physically protest because they're concerned that a similar sort of thing could happen. So most protests these days in China take place on social media. But of course, that's also heavily regulated by the Chinese authorities. So most of the social media sites are regulated. A lot of them have been banned. WeChat, which is essentially a Chinese version of WhatsApp, is the medium that's used by most people. And that's where we see videos being spread. But what we've seen over the last couple of weeks in China is a return to physical protesting. And this gives us a really good indication of the level of discontent and upset in the country right now. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the video, the catalyst for these protests initially was an apartment fire in a city called Urumqi, where 10 people died and people came out onto the streets. But as soon as those protests started to be reported on social media, other protests started appearing all across China. And this map shows 16 cities where protests were recorded on the same day as the Urumqi protests. And as a direct result of those protests, it's now estimated that major protests have taken place in over 50 cities across China. And the cities where these protests are springing up are predominantly university cities. So as we've seen time and time again from history, it's the students who are first to react. They're the ones who are most vocal that want to get their message across. But generally, it then draws in the rest of the population. And you can see from the videos that I'm showing you here that the people who are protesting are not just young students. We've got a whole cross-section of society. And the reason for this is multiple. Firstly, the COVID restrictions in China have been going on for 3 years. The first cases of COVID were identified in China towards the end of 2019. And since that time, the authorities have been operating lockdown restrictions. So the people of China have either been in lockdown or had the threat of a lockdown hanging over them for over 1,000 days. And that's just too much for anybody to cope with, irrespective of the consequences. And what we're seeing on the streets of China right now is a manifestation of that frustration. They are sick and tired of not being able to go about their daily lives. They don't know whether they're going to be able to go to work or to school or do anything normal because of these lockdown restrictions. And they can see from the rest of the world that everybody else has moved on from COVID-19. We did have major restrictions everywhere in 2020. But 2021, we saw a relaxation in most countries. And in 2022, the restrictions now are very limited. And what's making things worse is that these lockdown restrictions are now having a direct negative impact on the economy of China. So Chinese residents are worried about their jobs. They're worried about their wages. They're seeing inflation starting to rise. They're seeing unemployment also rising. And the outlook for the Chinese economy is now the worst that it's been for the last 30 years. And this is causing major concern. And the anger that everybody's feeling is starting to bubble over into these protests. And what's going to be really interesting is to see how the Chinese authorities deal with these protests. Because in the past, they've taken a very heavy-handed approach. But things have changed in China over the last 30 years. So it will be interesting to see whether or not the authorities try to come to some form of compromise or if they decide to squash these protests. The manufacturing industry is the biggest single contributor to the Chinese economy. In 2021, manufacturing output from China was $4.8 trillion, which equated to around 27% of the total GDP of $17.7 trillion. This is one of the highest percentages in the world. If you compare the output for the USA, manufacturing equates to somewhere in the region of 11 or 12% of GDP. So in China, it's very, very important. And we've just received the latest figures for manufacturing output, and they are at a 7-month low in China, partly as a result of the COVID restrictions and partly as a result of the global slowdown. This graph plots the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index from the start of 2021. Now, this is an index that we've looked at before on the channel, but if you're a first-time viewer, the Purchasing Managers Index is something that's been taken all across the world over the last 50 years and is a survey of all of the major companies in an economy and asks for a variety of key data which indicates whether or not that company is expanding its activities or contracting. And the key figure to focus in on when looking at this index is 50. So if a country returns a score above 50, then that indicates that manufacturing activity is expanding in that country. If the figure is below 50, then it indicates that manufacturing activity is contracting. And the 50 line is drawn in bold here across the top half of this graph. And this graph shows a number of concerning issues for China. Firstly, in November, the index has been recorded at 48. So that's obviously below 50 and indicates that manufacturing activity in China is currently contracting. And the figure in November represents a fall from the situation in October, which was also below 50 and therefore indicating a contraction. But if we look at the situation for the last 11 months, dating back to January 2022, you can see that manufacturing activity has been declining in virtually every single month. And in the months that it wasn't declining, it was sitting at or around 50, which meant that there was no contraction or expansion. And if we look further back to what was happening in 2021, in the first 2/3 of the year, there was an expansion in manufacturing activity, which is to be expected because that was when the whole world was coming out of the COVID lockdowns and we saw massive demand all across the globe. People wanted to buy things. Everybody had been sitting at home in lockdown, very frustrated, and so there was a huge surge in demand. So you would have expected that manufacturing activity in China would have increased. There was a lot of catch-up to be done in terms of companies had run short of stocks, and so they needed to buy things to replenish their supplies. But since June 2021, manufacturing activity has been in decline, and there is a noticeable downward trend on this chart. If you were to draw an average line here between June 21 and November 22, it would be significantly downwards, and it would be mostly below the critical 50-point level. Now, demand in the second half of 2021 and the first half of 2022 globally was very strong. So the fact that manufacturing activity in China was falling indicates that this was driven predominantly by the COVID restrictions, because the rest of the world wanted to buy things. They wanted Chinese goods. But because lockdowns, a lot of factories were having to close or operate on limited staffing levels, and therefore manufacturing activity started to decline. Now, that situation is still ongoing. That's the reason why there are protests in China right now. But on top of the COVID problems, China now has a problem because global demand is starting to slow down. We're seeing the economy going towards recession. We're seeing demand starting to reduce. And that means that there's going to be a further problem for China. Firstly, they can't produce enough things because they can't keep the factories open long enough because everybody's being put into lockdown. And secondly, now people don't want to buy it. So they will have to start voluntarily reducing their output because they won't be able to sell all of the products that they're looking to produce. So this is really bad news for China. And as we just discussed, the manufacturing sector equates to almost 30% of Chinese GDP. So this is really bad news in terms of GDP and the Chinese economy. Now, as I just mentioned, demand for manufacturing output is a combination of international demand and domestic demand. So what I'm trying to do is strip out the external factors of what's happening in the global economy and have a look at just what's happening within China. And retail sales are a really good indicator of what's going on. Now, this chart shows the year-on-year movements in retail sales in China over the last 12 months. Retail sales growth at the end of 21 was still being heavily impacted by the COVID lockdowns, but there was some growth, and in November it was 4%, December 2%, flat in January, and then in February it was 7%. However, these figures are measured against the results for the end of 2020 when heavy lockdowns were in place. So on a relative basis, it was against a very low base level. Now, the figures for March, April and May are actually measured against the period when the lockdowns were being released in 2021. So if we expand the chart to show the five-year view, you can see that at the start of 2021, when those lockdowns were released, there was a huge surge in demand in China because everybody had been in lockdown for almost a year. So we saw a major spending spree, and retail sales increased by almost 40% in those 3 months. So when you're measuring what's happening on a year-on-year basis, if you have a period when everything increases by 40%, come the following year, it's very difficult to be able to beat that. And that's why we're seeing a fall in March, April and May, because the benchmark figures from 2021 are exceptionally high. Now, retail sales growth returned in June and July, and in August, China saw an increase of 5%. However, over the last couple of months, you can see that the growth in retail sales has been falling. And in October, the actual level of retail sales fell by 0.5%. And if we jump back to the five-year chart, you can see that in October 21, it was not an exceptionally high month. So this isn't because we've got a very high benchmark from last year. This is because demand in China is now actually falling. And this is another major concern for China, because this indicates that the economy is slowing down as a result of the people spending less. And they're spending less because they're concerned about what's happening. They're worried about income. They're worried about job security. They're worried about finding a new job because unemployment is so high. So these are internal factors. This is not being driven by the global slowdown. This is being driven by the people of China. So as I'm sure you'll be aware if you follow the channel, the Chinese property sector has been in absolute turmoil over the last couple of years. Up until August 2020, the property sector in China was on fire. Massive property development companies were building millions of apartments all across the country, and they couldn't build these things quick enough. People were sleeping on the streets the night before release of new property, and the whole market became so overinflated that mortgage companies were happy to give an advance against property that wasn't even built yet. And buyers were paying up to 100% of the purchase price before these things had even been started. So this was a crazy, crazy time. And up until the middle of 2020, everybody thought that this was an absolute no-brainer, no-risk gamble. But in August 2020, everything changed when the Chinese authorities brought in some new rules that were designated the three red lines. And these were three financial tests that all property development companies had to meet. And if they didn't meet them, then that meant that they were in breach and therefore they would no longer be able to access any more debt. And what we saw happening was some of the biggest property developers in China, including Evergrande, which had over $300 billion of debt, failed to meet these tests and therefore were unable to access any more cash and therefore had to stop building overnight. And this caused absolute chaos in the sector because all of those people who'd paid for the apartments obviously wanted them to carry on building. But the authorities were concerned that these businesses were overleveraged, insolvent, and therefore needed to address all of their issues. But without access to any more capital, these companies were completely hamstrung. They couldn't do anything. So what we saw was the whole sector ground to a halt. Everything stopped. So we saw a lot of unfinished apartment buildings, a lot of people very unhappy. And over the course of the last 2 years, there hasn't really been a solution found to how to solve this issue. The Chinese authorities have started to acquire some of the entities and carry on with the building by using nationalized property companies to buy various sites. But that's been a very slow process. But what's been announced just now is that the three red lines has been cancelled. The Chinese authorities have suddenly woken up and realised that they've shot themselves in the foot. As I mentioned earlier, the property sector makes up over a quarter of the total GDP for China. So by stopping the sector in its tracks, that's meant that the Chinese economy has started slowing down as well. And they've now realised that they need to get it motoring to get everything back on track. So the three red lines have now been scrapped and the authorities have now announced a $220 billion debt package that's available to most developers. Probably not Evergrande, but we'll wait and see on that one. Now that's obviously good news for the majority of developers and means that they now will be able to carry on with those builds. But it doesn't really solve the problem. The whole reason that the Chinese authorities brought in the three red lines was because they'd identified the fact that a lot of these companies were overtrading. They'd got themselves to a position where they couldn't really continue unless they kept drawing more and more debt. They were spending a lot of the money that had been given to them by the buyers on new apartments that weren't related to the buyer's apartment. So they were constantly using money from other people to carry on growing. And at the time that they introduced the three red lines, the intention was to put a stop to these practices. But the problem is that obviously it had a really negative impact on the economy. And it's also had a really negative impact on house prices. This graph shows the movement in house prices in China over the last 10 years. And you can see that from 2019 onwards, there has been a downward trend in the growth of house prices. However, in 2022, we are now seeing actual price decline. So this isn't a reduction in growth, it's an actual fall in prices. And that hasn't been seen in China since the crisis of 2015. And the problem that the Chinese authorities are now facing is that the fall in prices isn't being driven by a lack of supply. Normally, when supply reduces, you would expect prices to go up. The reason that prices are falling is because there's been a massive fall in demand for property. And that fall in demand for property is driven by a failure of confidence from the Chinese buyers. They no longer see property as a no-risk gamble. They can see prices coming down and they also are worried about the delivery of these properties. So the authorities have tried to address this delivery issue by making more capital available to the property developers. But until confidence returns, we won't see prices going back up. And this is really bad news for the Chinese economy because property makes up such a big portion of GDP. This graph shows the growth in GDP in China dating back to 1980 and also includes growth forecasts provided by the IMF out to 2027. And what this graph shows is that between 1980 and 2010, China achieved double-digit growth in GDP in the vast majority of years, apart from when there was a global recession. So you can see that in the early 80s, GDP dropped to 5.1%. In the late 1980s, it dropped to 4.2% and 3.1%. In the late 1990s, it dropped to 7.7%. And it dropped to 9.4% during the global financial crisis in 2008. So over that 30-year period, China saw significant growth in its GDP. And even during times of global recession, it was still seeing significant growth of 4 or 5%. However, if you look at the graph since 2010, you can see that there's been a worrying drop in GDP growth. GDP increased by 10.6% in 2010. It then fell to 9.6%, 7.8% for the next 2 years, 7.4%, 7%, 6.9% for 2 years, 6.8%, 6%. It dropped to 2.4% in 2020 during the global COVID lockdowns. It bounced back to 8.1% in 2021. However, the latest forecast for 2022 has been revised down to 3.2%. So this will be the lowest year of growth that China has seen in any year, excluding the global pandemic of 2020. And the IMF forecasts for the next few years are 4.4% for 2023, 4.5% for 2024, and 4.6% for 2025, 26, and 27. So these rates are significantly lower than the historic rates that China have been achieving. And this is causing major problems for the Chinese economy, because the economy is based on the concept of constant growth, of constantly expanding, increasing its manufacturing capabilities, of making more revenue. So although China is forecast to continue growing, a slowdown of this nature has the same sort of impacts as a recession in a developed economy, because China is expecting constant growth, and if it doesn't achieve it, then it's going to experience problems. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this update because the protests that we're seeing in China are really serious. As I mentioned earlier in the video, people in China don't generally protest. They don't come out onto the streets because of the history of what's happened in the past. But they're now feeling so unhappy and there's so much discontent that everybody's prepared to run the risk of what could potentially happen and go out and make their voice heard. And this is obviously really bad news for the Chinese authorities, because they're going to have to do something about it. Either they're going to have to put a stop to all of the protests, which is going back to the old-fashioned way of dealing with these matters, or they're going to have to change their policy with regards to the COVID lockdowns, because that's at the heart of why people are getting so upset right now. But unfortunately, it's not just about the COVID lockdowns anymore, because what's happening in the Chinese economy is starting to have an impact on everybody's lives. So a lot of Chinese citizens are seeing their income falling, they're seeing prices starting to rise, they're seeing unemployment, and they're seeing massive problems in the property sector. And it's a combination of all of these factors that's forcing people onto the street. So what can the Chinese authorities do about this? Well, from a COVID point of view, it's been reported that they're now going to increase the level of vaccinations to get more people vaccinated so that they could then potentially start to relax these COVID restrictions. But that's obviously going to take months to achieve. So in the short term, that's not going to fix the problem. The other problem that they can fix is the economy. But unfortunately for China, a lot of it is outside of their control. What's happening globally right now is starting to have a big impact in China, because the world buys a lot of finished goods from China. It's the manufacturing heartland of the globe. And as global demand starts to slow down, then that demand for Chinese goods is going to slow down, and therefore there's not going to be as much need for people or factories or output. So that's going to hurt the Chinese economy from an employment and income perspective. And that's what's starting to happen now. And it's likely that that's going to get worse over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, as we see the global recession starting to unfold. And obviously the Chinese authorities have no way of controlling external demand. What they're trying to do now is go back to a tried and tested policy from the past, try to stimulate the property sector by offering lots of cash to all of the developers so that they can build more properties, everybody can buy them, and we go back to where we were. But the problem that China has today is that there's now a lack of confidence in the market. People have seen prices falling, they've seen developers getting into difficulty, and they've seen unfinished apartments. And the combination of all of those factors means that people don't want to buy property. They no longer see it as a one-way bet. And that's a problem for the Chinese authorities, because if they can't stimulate the property sector and get people buying again, then that's going to accelerate the slowdown of the Chinese economy and could potentially make things worse. So the overall summary of today's video is that the people in China initially started their protests against the COVID lockdowns, but these have now become more widespread as a result of what's happening in the economy. And the Chinese authorities aren't really able to fix any of the problems in the short term. So it'll be really fascinating to see what happens over the course of the next few weeks, whether these protests do continue, and whether or not the authorities decide to take a heavy-handed approach or introduce more stimulus packages to try to get the economy back up and running again. So I'll keep you posted as soon as there's any more news and developments on this story. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's video, you found it useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and thanks for watching this video all the way through to the end.